Welcome to Back to the Bible. We present this program daily on this station with the hope that God's Word will help you meet some specific need in your life. Theodore Epp is the director and Bible teacher, and I'm sure you'll enjoy the beautiful selections of music under the direction of Norman Vogt.
I love to tell the story, will be my theme in glory.
It's that time of the year again, and our singers are going to bring you some good music pertaining to reminding us of the fact that Jesus did come to this earth as a babe, then later on, of course, that he died for our sins, rose for our justification, is seated at the right hand of the Father in order that we might continue life. You'll hear some more of this from the choir and a trio after just a little bit. May I just remind you, we're doing something new. These messages from on Moses, Volume 3, are being placed on cassettes. 6 messages on one cassette. These may be secured at a very nominal price. You simply need to write to us and ask for more detailed information of how you may secure these messages. If you want a certain one, you'll have to give us the date on which you heard it. That will give us the key as to which one that you want, and as I say, there's a small price attached to them. I'll give you our address in just a moment, but right now we want to hear Carolyn and the choir sing Star of the East.
Oh,
In just a moment, the trio is going to sing, O Come Little Children. But I do want to remind you that the messages on Moses, Volume 3, are now being printed and should be ready for mailing the first of the year. But we want your orders now so we know how many to print. So if you want a copy, they're free. And it'll be about a 175-page book, about 42 messages on the life of Moses and the people of Israel as we're giving them now. This is going to be Volume 3. There will be another volume later on in the year, next year. But ask for your free copy on Moses Volume 3 now. Our mailing address is back to the Bible Broadcast, Lincoln, Nebraska, 68501.
Oh, come, little children, oh, come, one and all, to Bethlehem, haste, to the manger so small. God's Son for a gift has been sent you this night, to be your Redeemer, your joy and delight. He's born in a stable for you and for me. Draw near by the bright gleaming starlight to see. In swaddling clothes lying so meek and so mild, and purer than angels, the heavenly child. See Mary and Joseph with love beaming eyes are gazing upon the rude bed where he lies. The shepherds are kneeling with hearts full of love, while angels sing loud hallelujahs above. Kneel down and adore him with shepherds today. Lift up joyful hearts now and praise him as they rejoice that a Savior from sin you can boast, and join in the song of the heavenly host.
We are thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ came. He had to come to become flesh, become like unto us, human nature as well as divine nature, in order that he might first of all take away our sins and then again rise and live and present his life and give it unto us. Now, Father, this day we want to thank you for what you have provided for us in our behalf because of your love in Christ Jesus. Now open our eyes to the glorious truth of thy word as we study it together again today. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In the 17th chapter of the book of Exodus, just one verse today, and that is the 8th verse. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. Now we have already seen some great spiritual lessons presented to us from the life of Moses and the people of Israel. We saw them at the place of Marah, that is the bitter waters of Marah, and this revealed to us that the world cannot give to us, provide for us satisfaction whatsoever. It has to come from God through Jesus Christ. Then we also saw the manna as God gave it, and this again showed to us that the spiritual food that we need for spiritual growth has to come from above, not something of this world, but rather out of this world, something from above. And we have studied how that we should use the manna, the spiritual manna, for our souls. Then we have studied about the water that came from the rock, And this showed us how God provided for us through Christ Jesus the Holy Spirit of life and refreshment and for strength and all that was necessary for the journey. But now we come to a very, very important aspect of the Christian's life. And unless we understand this aspect, we're going to have troubles all along. And I've asked the Lord especially to help me to make it simple and clear to you that we may see and may understand the conflict that the believer has between his two natures. This we're going to see in our study from Amalek, who came and fought against Israel. These are the spiritual applications. These are types unto us. God gave them for our admonition, for our understanding, that we might thereby realize and understand how the Christian life really is lived. And so I do trust we have your undivided attention these days. There will be at least 5 messages on this subject of Amalek fought against Israel at Rephidim. So by way of introduction, there are a few things that we need to understand, and this is where I do want your undivided attention. This was Israel's first involvement in warfare, and it began here. When they had tasted of the spiritual food, when they drank of the spiritual rock. Now to apply this to the spiritual, we might say that after we have recognized Christ, and he has taken his rightful place in our hearts, first as our Savior, and then secondly, the Holy Spirit has taken his rightful place in the believer's life to conduct and to control his life. When these things happen, then we find a warfare begins. While Israel was resting at Rephidim is another thing. Here they were resting. That is, when we rest our salvation, and the Holy Spirit life in Christ and his complete work, or when we stand in the full power of redemption, then watch out for the enemy, for the enemy will come. I can just about hear somebody say, well, if I'd have known that, I don't know whether I would have accepted Christ. Now, I know you wouldn't say that. Because if you really think the thing through, you'll recognize to receive Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord and to allow the Holy Spirit in your life means eternal life with him forever and forever in the glories. And not do this means eternal hell. So naturally you would choose that which meant eternal life. But it's necessary for us to understand that there will be two natures within man once we have received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. So after the new and the holy nature of Christ is implanted in our hearts, there starts a conflict. Until they met Amalek, they had nothing to do about the conflict of the spiritual life at that time. They did not cope with Pharaoh at all in Egypt, nor did they break the power of Egypt. Nor did they divide the Red Sea, nor did they submerge Pharaoh and his armies, nor did they bring down the bread from heaven, nor did they draw water out of the rock. All of this was provided for them free, gratis, by God himself. Even whether they believed or didn't believe, God provided it through Moses. And so as we apply this, we find that Christ won all of the battles of peace for us, namely for the forgiveness of sin. He alone went to the cross. He alone went to the tomb. He alone rose for our justification. He overcame Satan. He robbed death of its sting. All of these were his doings. These matters are beyond the reach of any sinner whatsoever. For in Hebrews 1 verse 3, we read this. For when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. When he by himself had purged our sins. Or, as we read in the second chapter of Hebrews, verse 14, for Jesus partook of the same, that is, of flesh and blood, and that through death he might destroy or bring to naught the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. These are the things that the Lord has done. Or, as we read in Ephesians, the first chapter, beginning with verse 3,
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us in all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, or in heavenly things in Christ Jesus. And he did this all of his own. All the previous conflicts had been between Jehovah and the enemy, between the Lord Jesus Christ and the Satan. It was for Israel just simply to stand still and to see the salvation of the Lord, to enjoy the fruits of the victory. And this they had done up till now. But the moment the believer discovers and appropriates the truth concerning the personality and the power of the Holy Spirit, as we saw symbolized by the water of the smitten rock, he suddenly becomes aware of the fact that there's a new enemy. A new enemy. This is symbolized by Amalek. This is what we want to see. Amalek symbolizes the flesh, the old nature. Now the battle begins. Then came Amalek and fought against Israel at Rephidim. The gift of the Holy Spirit leads to conflict. Why? Because there are two natures now that are opposed to each other. Two natures within man opposed to each other. Light rebukes and conflicts with darkness. Were it all darkness, there would be no conflict. But the moment light comes in, it introduces a conflict, simply because the darkness and the light are opposed to each other. In Galatians 5:17, this is so clearly set forth. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit. That word lusteth means sets its desires against the spirit. The flesh, the old man, the old nature. And the spirit against the flesh. The spirit of God within us and through our spirit is opposed to the flesh. These are the contrary, the one to the other. So that you cannot do what you would naturally want to do. Yes, then came Amalek and fought with them. This then is the first time Israel is seen in the conflict with an external foe. It's a strange conflict that they experience here, something hitherto absolutely unknown. Now, we must know, and this is why I'm taking extra time today, but we must know that man has a twofold nature. And this stands in conflict, the flesh against the spirit, the old against the new. Many are falsely taught that in becoming a Christian, God changes the attitude, the heart of man, the old flesh, and that henceforth he will be in complete victory over sin, that the old nature is eradicated. This is not taught in the scriptures. It's taught by some people, meaning good, but it just isn't scriptural. We find that a changed heart is not taught in the scriptures. Let me explain what I mean here. God never changes anything. The old is set aside or destroyed, whatever it happens to be. And something altogether new is created. God doesn't make the old over. He doesn't remodel the old thing. He simply sets it aside. He just has nothing to do with it. He introduces a new nature altogether. God does not improve upon man's weaknesses because that's out of the question. Therefore, the Christian is one who has been born again, born of water and of the Spirit. This simply speaks of being born of the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit. There is here no removal of anything from the man, nor the changing of anything within man, but there is the impartation of something new. Did you get that? I want to repeat that. There is no removal of anything from man, nor the changing of anything within, but there is the impartation of something new. And we must get this. The new birth is the reception of a new nature. 2 Peter 1:5, a nature that is born of the Spirit and is Spirit. John 3:6 says we must be born of the Spirit, and that is Spirit. So there is a new birth and a new nature comes in. The new life is Christ himself, not the old life made over. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. The Son of God comes into our life. It's a new nature. It's a divine nature then. A divine nature is communicated to us. It is created by the Holy Spirit. Now the seed that is necessary for the creation of this new nature was the Word of God. In James 1, verse 18, it says, of His own will He begat us with the Word of truth. Or, as we read in 1 Peter 1 and verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Born of water, that speaks of the Word. Born of the Spirit, that's the whole thing. This seed is pure in 1 John 3. And in the 9th verse, we read this. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Not talking about the new nature, the new man, which is Christ. The Christ within us can not sin. Thus, when this new nature is implanted to the born-again one, the old sinful nature remains there, unchanged, until death or Christ's coming, when it will be changed. And that's why I like 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 to 53, where he says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and shall be changed. And this for this incorrupt, this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So you see, it's still there to the very end. So in every Christian, there are then two nature, one sinful, one sinless, one born of the flesh after Adam, the other born of God. These two natures differ from each other in origin, in character, in disposition, in their activities that they produce. They have nothing in common. They are opposed to each other. So this is what is in view typically here when we see now Amalek coming to fight against Israel. We'll take up more about this battle now in our next broadcast. I'm so glad that the Lord sent the Lord Jesus Christ. Sure, He sent Him as a babe. He grew up as a man.
that he might be like one of us, except for sin. And then he took upon himself our sin. He died, he was buried, he rose again. He lives forever today to intercede for us, and by the Spirit indwelling us. Do you know him? If not, let us help you. Here's a thought for today. Once we have feasted on heavenly food, the devil's cooking does not taste right. Now here's our announcer with the address.
Friends, our mailing address is Back to the Bible, Box 82808, Lincoln, Nebraska. Please include your station call letters each time you write to us.